Hey there, and welcome to the Confident Woman Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Brooks. Join me as I sit down and chat with co-hosts, friends, and carefully curated guests and talk about all the things that empower you to become your best and most confident self. So let's get started. All right, ladies, welcome back. So today we have with us Diane Strand. Diane is an award-winning serial entrepreneur, marketer, speaker, and coach who helps entrepreneurs turn their creative passions into profitable businesses. As she did with her own business, JDS Productions, a seven-figure media company creating engaging video content for organizations, people, and products. So, of course, we're going to have an incredible conversation because we're going to be talking about entrepreneurship and the journey and marketing and all the things business that we as ambitious go-getting women, this is what we set out to do. We want to create something from nothing and bring it into this world and leave it better than how we found it. So I'd love to have Diane share a little bit more about how she got into this line of work and some of the story that led to where she's at today.
Thank you very much, Rachel. I am excited to be here and look forward to a great conversation. I always say that, you know, you can't connect your dots looking forward. You have to look back. And your dots really then start to line up to put you exactly where you are. And my first really dot shows up in second grade. It was a big pivotal year for me. I was diagnosed dyslexic, and I really wanted to be Betsy Ross in the school play. And I was told by teachers and parents, but you can't read, you can't do that. And I've always said, well, watch me. So that's pretty much what I did is I said, oh, I have to figure this out. That's where my tenacity started to come out. And I taught myself how to read. I got the part of Betsy Ross in a school play. And I do see where the arts continue to connect my journey all the way through, whether that be my schooling years. It kept me connected enough in school to keep my grades up and not ditch as much as my friends were at that time because I wanted to be in the school play. I wanted to have that be my focus. I struggled a lot in school. My parents moved a lot. I went from the Midwest all the way to California. I went through four different schools between third grade and my sophomore year in high school, moving across the country. The arts found a way for me to make friends, for me to fit in. It just has led me to so many different things. Even when I floundered out of high school, going back to college was because I wanted to be in a play. Then I got my AA degree. Then I moved up to LA and I really wanted to pursue acting at that time. And one of my entrepreneurial spirits started showing, and all my unemployed actors, I was going to start producing plays so we could all get on stage and invite producers and directors to come see us. And that's when I found, oh, I really like the producing and the directing and the writing. And I started moving more behind the scenes at that time. And I started writing more. And me, this little dyslexic non-reading girl, is now writing television shows and screenplays. And I got an offer to buy the screenplay thinking that this was my big break and it was all going to happen. To be told that they're buying it so they could shelve it because they had something similar to it and they just wanted theirs to come out and not mine. So they paid me a lot of money to kind of let it sit on a shelf. But I thought, well, at least you'll bring me on as a producer. I can write different things. I can do things for you. And they're like, well, you don't have a bachelor's degree. We don't hire anyone at Showtime without a bachelor's degree. I went, no one's ever going to say that to me again. So I went back to school and I finished my degree. And then I came out and never looked back. I worked on shows like Friends and General Hospital and Veronica's Closet and worked in reality television and corporate video. And it was reality television that made me running for entrepreneurship. So I left corporate video, which made it a difference to me. It was the first time that anything really started to matter in the work that I was doing. It had a purpose because the videos I was making when I worked at Amgen Pharmaceuticals all of a sudden were impacting other people's lives, people who had cancer or would through chemotherapy without these medications, and being able to tell their stories made such a difference. And so that made me really start to transform my thoughts and feelings about a career and passion and purpose. I did get lured away by the almighty dollar when reality television hit, but it also pivoted me into entrepreneurship. I'd come home late from missing dinner and bath time and bedtime for my three-year-old son, third night in a row, and venting to my husband and having him say, well, what if we gave up our Hollywood dreams? He was a professional actor, and we moved out of the area and we started our production company. And I think it took me a split second to go, yes. And that really started my entrepreneurial career. We sold our house. Next day, I put in my notice. We moved to North County, San Diego, and we started building our video production multimedia business. And then from there, as, you know, ebbs and flows of a business and entrepreneurship, we landed in Temecula, which is about 70 miles south of LA, right outside the San Diego County. And we really started to thrive our business. We opened an actor's studio, started launching careers in the industry. And then all of a sudden, I met an individual who made a huge difference. It was a young man with special needs, and he loved audio, and he really just wanted to learn audio. And this young man was introduced to me by a chamber connection, which that is the key to entrepreneurial success, to be out in the community, meet people, say yes, show up to meetings. And I took that philosophy and I said yes to taking on an intern. We had just launched our nonprofit, which provided arts to all different kinds of individuals beyond just the acting world. And within 5 months, I started writing a curriculum to help train adults with developmental disabilities how to learn video production and multimedia. And again, I go to those dots because here I was, this young girl who couldn't read and had dyslexia, which is a form of neurodiverse in and of itself, to now I am working with adults with developmental disabilities to help them live their dreams and passions. And I find that's all possible because of the arts. And, you know, that's really my artistic journey to get to where I am.
Wow. What a beautiful story. I'm jotting down so many notes here because I see a lot of synergies, even in just these parallels from my story to your story. It's like, as one creative to another, we don't realize the connectivity, as you say, going all the way back to those moments that if we follow the through line and the patterns, we realize this is where we were supposed to be in the beginning. I ask our listeners, can we do that for ourselves? Take a moment to really reflect, and how far can we connect those dots back and find our true selves and try find our true identity and not let those limitations feel that that is the end all be all, which would divert our path to something that wouldn't feel authentic to us. So I love that you're sharing all this stuff because, I mean, from one neurodivergent to another, one creative to another, one entrepreneur to another, it just makes sense because we have just a different perspective also of how we take challenges on as almost a way to like, let me prove something. But that prove is the drive that allows us that ability to prove to ourselves that we just are capable of creating. And the arts, obviously, from that perspective, without the arts and without the creativity, where would we be? And you've led that way and you paved that way. And you have shown time and time again, just through your stories, what can come out of that and the transgression of from working on top shows. We've all heard of Friends. We've all heard of General Hospital, but we never really know the individuals behind those shows, the directors, the writers, the producers. And that's the mind of what you have just given us. And it's so, I'm just enamored by this. I just want to thank you for sharing that. So obviously, as you're going through this story and the journey, and you encounter other obstacles and setbacks along the way. And now here you are as a producer of your own company, and you've taken that big risk, went all in with you and your husband so you could spend more time with your family and be present. So what were some of the biggest breakthroughs that you would say at that time that really allowed you to see the payoff was worth the risk?
Well, I always say you have to start before you're ready. And I did not know what the payoff would be. It was all risk. I'm a true believer in manifestation. So, you know, I saw what I wanted it to look like at the end. What the end was at that time when it first started was not where I am today. It always ends up looking different, but every pivot and turn that I made was what led me right to here. If you would have asked me 10 years ago, I was an entrepreneur, but would I be doing what I am doing now? No, I hadn't even started the nonprofit yet. So I wouldn't even be able to know. But, you know, there was that big dream. I can remember the day sitting in Disney Channel and down in the edit bays were some of my favorite places to be. I love post-production. And, you know, at that time, this was 98 and everyone sitting around, the lottery was just kind of coming into play at that time. And it was, what would you do if you won $1 million? And I'm like, I'd open my own production company. But here I am with my own production company and I didn't need $1 million to make that happen. I put a lot of hard work into it. And yeah, there was some financial investment that needed to be made, but not anything more than I could do at that time. And I made it work. Were there moments that I thought I had to dust off my resume and see if I had to go back to work? Sure, but I didn't. And it all worked out. I found the way. And I go back to, you know, there's a lot of times we're on a podcast, The Power of the Women, and, you know, doing that, that I was the only woman in a lot of rooms in the entertainment industry, or there was 5 other male producers and me. I remember the day that I started to really find my voice. And it took another woman to really make that come out. I was working on a Barbara Streisand concert for HBO pay-per-view at the Shrine Auditorium. And here I was with 5 producers and me, and they were all guys. And she went around and she was asking us all a question. And she asked me first, what would I do in this lighting situation? And I gave her my answer. And she went down to about 2 other people. And then she came back and she goes, no, I want the woman. She's the one who knows the answer. Let's bring her. And for the next 3 days, I was her streaming producer. And she helped me find my stronger voice to step out and be there. And so grateful for that. And I never looked back. Those are things that have totally changed me. And as I've had to be an entrepreneur and a woman, I now am involved in economic development and workforce development so I can share my voice and opinion, whether that's coming from my female woman perspective, my entrepreneurial perspective, my creative perspective, or even my inclusion. I am a huge proponent of diversity and inclusion, and whether we need to open up those doors and let more people in is exactly what business needs to be doing. If you're a creative looking to launch, I can help you do that. Or if you're a business, then you need more creative and I can help you find that to leverage, market, and scale.
Yes, that's so needed. I feel like I'm speaking 2 pages out of my notebook. You're reciting them. Sometimes as a creative, you wonder if you have what it takes, because you feel like you're swimming upstream, especially being a neurodivergent. It makes things harder. It feels like it's a challenge. For what comes easy for other people, it takes us longer to grasp. So sometimes those challenges could really feel like they're setbacks, but it allows us to really grow and step into, you know, our confident versions of ourselves in a way that feels unique and authentic to us. So I love that you're creating that. And so, you know, creating inclusive workforce, marginalizing the groups and special needs adults to help give them the abilities and empowering them to go after those dreams and start pursuing something that is called onto their heart. So I thank you for that. You know, when it comes to the creation aspect of the works that you do, how do you collaborate and create effective marketing to really convey to those customers and the audiences and the segments that you are now producing and empowering others to do as well?
Well, in today's marketing world, you have to have a personal brand. And that is what I'm working on the most right now, is building my personal brand, build my business brands, and those have an identity and a stronghold. But you do business with people you know, like, and trust. And so you have to have that personal brand out there so people can understand what your authority is, what your expertise is, and then also what your purpose and your passion is, because that's how we connect with people. And so I'm all about acronyms. I love the three P's: purpose, passion, and profits. They all go together. And the more you give, the more you get is so true. I'm not saying I'm this altruistic human being out there, but I do see that when you are providing value to somebody else, the value you get back from watching them thrive, from watching them succeed, and then when others notice that they're thriving and succeeding, that fills me up more than any dollar in my bank ever has. And that really has changed a lot of my vision in how I operate and do things. And it's beneficial all the way around. So, you know, when you're providing value, it comes back in spades. It's all about relationships. We have to work relationships. We have to provide value. And then the value comes back to you. I'm a firm believer in making dreams come true by providing hope, which means helping one person every day.
I love that. And just making those dreams possible gives them that opportunity to not only believe in what their dream is, but belief in themselves that they are capable of doing that. And especially as entrepreneurs and even solopreneurs or small businesses, sometimes that can really get in the way of our own thoughts and our limitations, because it's just really us. You know, it's a lot of times ping-ponging that idea, and we don't really have that sounding board or the other individuals that are in a creative space that can think and dream big to those levels, where it can feel sometimes very isolating and lonely at times too. You discounting and diminishing your perceived value, but also that dream will die. And those are the people that need it. And that's the place of service, like you said, fulfillment and love and service. And I think that that's what's really unique about creatives and entrepreneurs in general, is we have that innovation and those ideas, but sometimes the hardest part is to get them out of our heads and become a tangible reality, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's usually fear that is making us hold back and not start. You can't do things fearless. I don't believe that there is such thing as fearless, but there is fearless. So you have to take that fear and put it in the back seat. You have to take control of the car and let it know you've got the radio, you've got the wheel, you be back there. Fine. If I'm about to drive off a cliff, you scream loud. But other than that, I've got this and I'm going to drive it. You have to trust in yourself. You got to build that confidence. And I found that every time I follow through on something, which is if I say, oh, I'm going to go show up at that networking event, or I'm going to go do that. And then when I do it, I trust myself a little bit more. I put the coins in that confidence bank and I trust myself. And I do believe that it's my responsibility to share my message, because if I'm not sharing my message, somebody out there is sharing a message and they're not doing it for the reasons that I'm doing it. And so that is my responsibility to put it out there. And you have to build that community. I'm a firm believer in community. It's changed my business. Get involved. I am a member of the Chamber. I'm a member of the Economic Development Coalition. I'm the member of the Visitors Bureau. I'm a member of lots of different organizations, so I can have places to network. I can reach people. It helps me build that muscle, that confidence muscle. Networking is not easy. It's not easy to go, hi, I'm Diane, and I'd like to meet you, and what's your business? But I do find out that when you show up, and if you are the most interested in what other people are saying and what they have to offer, they're going to remember you. They're going to think that they just had the best conversation, because people do like to talk about themselves, and you're listening, and the things that you will glean from them so that you can build that relationship and then find out how you can provide that person value And then you can collaborate and you can work together. So I think those are the big things, you know, get the fear in the backseat. It's there. It lies to us all the time. Oh, your website's not ready, or, oh, just wait till that's perfect, or do that. No, start before you're ready. Get out there, build that confidence and build a community. Because as a solopreneur, I've been there. As a solopreneur, you need other people to help you, to work with you, to, you know, some of my bestest, dearest friends are my colleagues out of the chamber that, you know, whether it's, you know, the real estate lady or nothing to do with even my business, even though I do say the arts touch everything, but, you know, all the different people, those are some of my bestest friends now, 10, 15 years later. So you have to get out. You have to build that community. You know, you have to work in your space so that you can get those authenticity moments to be able to share with somebody else and then start taking it out to the rest of the world.
Yes, yes. I couldn't agree more. And I think just from my own perspective here, sometimes, like I said, as a neurodivergent, we kind of do things a little bit ass backwards sometimes until we realize, wait, hold on, that the cart doesn't go before the horse. But these are the lessons that we learned, recognizing in hindsight, you know, as our best teacher, we realized the importance of being in proxy of not just the immediate people very much like you, but the people that you know you want to bring into your circle and ways that you can serve their communities as well. So it comes both ways. And I love that, you know, you're so actively involved in so many different organizations. And like you said, you went in there with the intention for yourself, but now coming out years later, these have been lifelong friends and people that you are willing to build that know, like, and trustability, where if they ever needed something on your end and vice versa, you have each other. That's the importance of community building, finding those like-minded individuals. It could be somebody who is a go-getter, who is looking to make a difference, make that impact, expand their reach and their community. So that right there, you have common interest. So you start to find like attracts like, and you start building your own subset community within the larger community. I love that you're sharing that, which kind of leads to my other question. How do you lead as a woman in business to help lift up other women? Because sometimes I know that women-to-women relationships, especially with business, could feel a little bit, it's a stretch at first, right? It could feel a little bit harder, where it's different for males. It's just easier for them to connect, easier for them to start doing business. But with women, what are some of the things that you've learned about women in business building that relationship in your community?
Yeah, women can be very competitive with one another. And I think that's because, you know, I remember much more of that in my early years. There weren't a lot of us trying to be doing the same thing. And it was definitely a much more competitive nature. But now, interesting enough, in my business, I employ 16 people. The majority of them are women. And I see how they collaborate and work together and not bring that competitiveness in there. So I think it's a culture thing. Definitely, it's a culture thing. And if you can empower another woman, they're going to empower you back. And that is what I feel like is really starting to develop more so today than even, you know, I'm not in that corporate world anymore, so I don't see it as much. But I do feel like as you are holding up other women, they will also hold you up. You know, it's my job now. I'm involved in the Women in Business Committee. I chair it. Sometimes I MC it. I've been doing that for several years for the chamber, as well as getting involved in mentoring young women. I give scholarships to organizations that support young women that are reaching for their goals and their dreams, because if there's anything I can do to help lift somebody up who wants to pursue their passion, I'm all for that. You know, I work a lot with special needs. I see a lot of women, especially in the special needs population, that will still revert back to letting a man lead them. So I help them find their voice I help them advocate just like I was helped at one time to speak up and share my opinions and notice that they're usually the ones that get recognized when you speak up. So it's just giving someone the empowerment to use their voice and how to self-advocate for themselves. And that's what my goals are today for women. Keep carving a pathway and, you know, helping others speak when they can't do it for themselves.
I love that. It's the cycle of reciprocity. It's like it's the whole give and take. You know, we're in this together when we look at it from that collective environment or the collective community aspect of it, where we're no longer looking at it from a competitor side. And that competitor side can kind of feel, I think, you know, early on in your business, if you're new or upcoming and just starting something new, you feel very protective of those ideas and you don't really want to share that. But as you continue growing in your business, you realize that we're not serving ourselves. We're all serving that one person. And our goal from a place of service is to come from a place of love and give, knowing that that will come back to us in full turn at some point. I mean, we have to trust that, right? It's that, you know, what we put out, we will reap in return. So I love that you talk about collaboration over competition, because I know personally, I've seen this a lot in my space. And I realized that there was areas and I felt like those aren't the areas that I belong, because I'm open. I've shared my visions, my ideas with everybody. And I'm like, I don't look at it as the protection aspect of it, because I know that somewhere along the line, somebody's going to say yes. And that's why I share, because if I can get somebody to say yes, I know that I've just strengthened my support, which gets me closer to making a greater impact, which is really, if we think about it, it's not so much about the income. Yes, income is very important, but impact lives long after. And that's the legacy. That's what we're actually trying to build. Because if we're in a place of entrepreneurship, isn't the whole goal to solve a problem and leave this world better than how we found it? Right.
Yeah.
So we need to keep that in mind when we choose collaboration over competition. Competition is scarcity. Competition says that nobody can do what I can do. That might be true, but yet somebody else might be looking for a you to complete what they need and for them to come together and make something great out of it. So I love that you brought that up. As you continue, for those listening, as you continue going through this journey, you're going to find different ways that you see yourself in these stories that can help shed some light that maybe this is an area that we need to let go or revisit and see how we can step into a community that is supportive. And as Diane shared, I mean, there's plenty of them. I mean, from the chamber to the Better Business Bureau to the communities that are within your local cities or even online communities. We have the Confident Woman Collective community. Like, we created this because we saw such a need. So would you add anything to that to kind of help shape it a little bit more for our listeners?
Well, I'm a firm believer also in mentorship. Whether you are the mentor or the mentoree, I am both at any given time. You know, I have my mentors that I work with. I have coaches that help guide me and bounce things off of as well. And then I also get to be that coach for other people. You can't compare your journey to somebody else's journey. Everybody is on their own path. Everyone defines success differently. What is success to me might not be success to somebody else. And we're all in different spaces. I'm 21 years into being an entrepreneur. There's somebody out there listening who just decided to start this at the beginning of this year. So you're not going to be in the same place that I am. So that's okay too. That's where you can't get into that competition aspect, because we all look at things differently. We all provide different things. So just have faith in what your message is and what you are bringing forth. And as that fear is talking to us, you know, someone is really saying to us, oh no, you're awesome. You're great. Listen to that voice, right? Because they wouldn't be saying it if it wasn't true. And so you have to put the fear in the back seat so you can run forward. You can take those steps. You can step outside that comfort zone. You know, that's where the magic happens. It's not in that safe space. And the safe space keeps changing for us. What was uncomfortable for me even a month ago is more comfortable for me today as we start working that muscle and you start doing that. And I just want to remind people that discomfort is temporary. Growth is permanent. So when you work through it and you get to the other side of whatever is going on, you're only in competition with yourself. And if you can look at the competition as your goal is just to do better than you did yesterday, to do more or do different, that's your competition. Your competition is you. Stop looking outside for all the gratifications and all the things. You got to build it from inside. And it does start with gratitude. You know, you have to really come back to that. And some days I'm grateful. I got a pen. I can write something down and I have to like start scribbling, you know, to even get it out. Like, oh, today I got up and I took a shower. Let's start with the basic things. And, you know, and as I start writing and I start going there, all of a sudden my head that was bringing me down and thinking about all the other things, because you can't be grateful and sad at the same time. The minute I'm like grateful for my pen, whatever it was, it starts moving. Well, guess what? I got a piece of paper now. Okay, now I can sit down and write, today sucks. Well, why does today suck? Well, this happens and that happens. The next thing I know, but I got to do this and this happened. And I changed somebody's life. When you put your head on the pillow, you're going to end up there at the end of the day. And if you're okay, then everything is okay.
I love that. I love that you brought up gratitude, because seriously, that's like one of the biggest game changers in my life. You have to cultivate an attitude of gratitude, and it changes everything. As you said, it's what we're focusing on. No matter where you are in life, whether, again, we're using these examples from the business perspective, but it's in life in general, because life is going to give you troubles. It's always going to have problems. You can never predict that a paved, perfect, smooth way. It doesn't exist. When those things arise, we have gratitude to thank for those opportunities, because through our challenges, through the obstacles, through every bad situation, there's always something good to come of it if we choose to see that. And gratitude helps shift that entire perspective so we can always find the good in a bad situation, the silver lining, the lesson, the blessings, whatever that is. But if we only focus on the problem, that is all we'll ever see. But if we focus on what came from that problem, we now start seeking differently. And it changes the way we view life and the perspective, because it also now sparks this curiosity. And the curiosity is part of the creativity. With creativity comes inspiration. So when we've tweaked our thought processes to seek out, we're now curious. And it goes back to what Diane even said with community and putting yourself out there and networking. Be interested in them. Be a curious wonderment, like, wow, I wonder if, and that will start you looking for those solutions instead of focusing on problems. So I love that you brought that up. I mean, gratitude, it isn't just a fun practice that you see on social media with a cute little journal and a pen. It's a life. It's a practice. It's something that you carry with you throughout everything that you do. So thank you for touching on that as well, because I can't tell, I'm a little bit passionate about gratitude.
It's a big part. I mean, some days are not the greatest of days, and you have to go back to basics to just lift yourself up, turn on a good song, dance a little, get grateful that the music's playing and you can dance. And then sometimes it's okay to scream in your pillow and cry too, and then get grateful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to release those emotions. It's all part of life. Nothing is ever perfect. I wrote a book called Chasing Perfection. The story doesn't end well. It doesn't exist. You know, so that's the reality of it. And I think that sometimes we go into life with these expectations because we've seen other people do it and we think, wow. And that's really what this podcast is about, is to help kind of break those barriers and talk about the struggles and the journey and the things along the way, because no two journeys are alike, but they're similar. And we hope that, you know, with our guests and with these beautiful stories that Diana's even shared, is like you see hope, inspiration, and encouragement to keep going and pursuing what is on your heart and something that only you can bring into this world and make a difference about. So I want to change the topic here for just a moment. As a creative and you're going through business, what advice would you give for a creative to turn that passion into a profitable business? Because sometimes, again, that idea lives in our head. How do we get it out? How do we build a business, but yet make the profits, the passion, and follow the purpose in pursuit of making that difference in this world?
Well, you have, it's one foot in front of the other. In entrepreneurship, there is no do one, do two, do three, and all of a sudden you're done at four, right? It is a continual, every day I learn something new. Every day I do something different than I've done before. Even when I'm doing things that I may have done before, I bring a new spin to it. It involves somebody different. My teams change, all the different things that go into it. So be flexible. You don't have to know all the steps. There is no perfect step one, step two, step three. Just the next step and take the next step. Don't question the next step. Get into it. Do it. And if it's not the right step, that's okay too. You can pivot and go do something else. Whether it's a whole different shift or you just need to fork a little right or fork a little left. Community is a way to build your business. You cannot do it from behind your desk. You have to connect with community, whether that's an online community, that's an in-person community. You have to get out there. You have to share your message. You have to build that personal brand. We all have the, you know, when I started, social media wasn't there. You know, it was knock, knock, knock on your door and hello, this is who I am. Today, we can post something, but you can't just post it once. You have to post it 10 times because if you're not posting it 10 times, your feed is not seeing it. Remember, those that like you and love you, they don't care that you posted it 10 times. You know, so you can see that one extra person. So it's really okay. And if you are the one who's worried, am I bragging? Am I this? Then don't worry. You're not the bragger. The people who are the braggers are the ones who aren't worried about it. So you need to keep putting yourself out there because remember, it is fear that is telling you, oh, your website's not ready. You don't have your portfolio. Oh, you don't have all the things you need to go on that podcast. They're asking you for a picture and a resume and a bio. So put those things together, but don't let that stop you from applying to be on that podcast or that TV show or getting that media appearance, putting yourself out there on social media. You have to do it again and again and again. And there is no do it once and you're done. That just doesn't happen. You have to keep going and you have to pick yourself up. You got to dust yourself off and you have to do it again. You know, that really is the answer to business is you can't give up. You know, you just have to keep going. You can pivot. You can change. You can come up with new ideas, but just take that next step. Because once you take that step, the next step opens itself up. The opportunities start to reveal themselves. See something out there that you're reaching for and then just take a step. Don't let something hold you back. Because the minute you are holding back, that's fear that's holding you back. Because I can tell you, my website is out of date every other day, every fit day, because something happened and something changed, or I get a phone call and I'm like, oh, sorry, that's not working. I'll get somebody right on that. But it didn't stop them because if they really wanted to come take my acting class or come be in my, on my TV show or do whatever it is, they're going to call me back. Have faith in humanity.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Such wise words. And you're so right. There is no one size fits all. There's no blueprint. There's no blueprint for life. There's no blueprint for business. And especially as a creative, nothing had been done the way that you're creating. You might have people that you can model that have done similar, but they have taken a whole different direction. So that's really, again, going back to the community, you start building your community of people who have done what you aspire to do, people who you know could help get you there. But indirectly, how could you be of service to them to help them get to where they're at? So again, that collaboration. So I love that.
Well, there's that saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink, you know, and that's what I do. I launch creative careers. You know, there is no guarantee. I tell everyone who walks in my door, there is no guarantee. I'm not guaranteeing you're going to be famous or a household name, but I can promise you can work in this industry. It's a real viable career path. There are steps that you can take. If you want to open a creative academy like me, I can tell you 5 steps to take and coach you through them. That's the legalese and all the stuff. So that becomes easier. But at the same time, if you don't get out and you don't meet your community, I can't do that for you. You have to go out and do that yourself, other than being your cheerleader behind you. So that's where you have to take the action. It's all on you to take that step and to really put the fear in the background and get uncomfortable, but get comfortable being uncomfortable.
Well said. To further that, how do we get started, or how to turn that creative passion into a profitable business? How would you recommend or suggest to successfully leverage money and marketing as an entrepreneur, especially for those who are startups or have come to a place where they're ready to now scale? So they've already built their business, they're at the growth stage, and what's the next step? How can you shed some light onto those topics as well?
Well, that's where relationships really come into play. And you have to be able to provide that value to have that relationship build to be able to get some So get to know your banker, get to build those relationships so that when you need to go ask for capital or money to make things happen, people, again, they know you, they like you, they trust you, they see you in the community, they know you are working, they're going to want to invest in you. That is a great way for you to be able to scale and get things done. I mean, you have to take the risk, you got to go get the loan. Those are the things that you have to be able to do so you can manage the cash flow. I always tell people, don't worry about the money comes and goes. You're looking to build the wealth. Build the wealth. Not worry about what's in your bank account today, because that comes and goes. So spend the money, invest in yourself, invest in other things, invest in mentors and coaches so they can help you as you start to hit different brick walls that pop up. I've talked to 5 banks, they've all said no. Well, they'll help you drum up a new idea. They'll help you find that way to find that new investment that you're looking for. And then I come back to that personal brand. You really have to build that personal brand online so people can start to see your growth in what's happening. That's how we start to then, with our personal brand, bring in people that don't know us and want to start to reach out because they trust us. They see that we've been on maybe a podcast, or we've been written up in a magazine, or ABC or NBC has had them on TV. Create credibility. You know, you have to present yourself as an expert. Don't be an expert at everything. You know, you be an expert at what you know and put it out there. Start the email blast, start solving people's problems, and then they're going to see that they can trust you with their problems. And everybody has a problem or they wouldn't come to you, whether they need a widget or a gadget, or they need motivation, or they need a video in my case, or they want to launch a career, or you are a CPA and they need your tax services. They need to know, if I'm going to hire you to be my CPA, who are you? What have you done? Why am I going to work with you and not you, right? So if I had to compare the apple to the apple, I'm going to pick the one that I could find online. I could see people talking about them. I can see some of their advice and go, oh, yeah, that resonates with me. And that's how I'm going to pick my next CPA, or I'm going to pick my next, you know, hairstylist or acting class.
Right. Yeah. So those are great tips, because as you said, don't worry about the money. It will come in return. Worry about what your vision is, what you want to bring into this world. Because that is the priority, because you can always find a way. But where there's a will, there's a way, right? So if you have that drive, if you have that clear calling for something on your heart to bring into this world, expect that that will happen. And to add also to what Diane shared with a whole bunch of tips and strategies and everything there, go back and listen to what she just said. If you're new and finances are an issue, you can also leverage your community. I keep going back to community. You can even use what they call bartering, trade for services. If you have something that can help the next person and they are in the same situation, offer to trade services, trade products, trade gadgets, widgets, whatever that is. Value isn't just monetary format. There's ways of exchanging. And that all ultimately comes back to how you believe in yourself, what you believe that you bring to the table, what you are confident in and feel secure about who you are, what your product or service is. It's okay because everybody starts somewhere at something at some place in their time. It doesn't matter. As Barbara said, or Diane said, the bartering system allows for you to leverage and build your expertise so that you can confidently become that expert. So I love that. These are such great tips on everything. And this entire conversation has been packed full of wisdom, takeaways, strategies. So thank you, Diane, for all of what you shared. I'd love for you to give us a few closing remarks or anything that you feel that would be that we haven't covered. Anything that you want to add?
Well, as I said, I love acronyms. And an acronym that I came up with is the DREAM acronym, which if you're going to have a dream, you can't do that in your sleep. So you have to have direction. You have to realize what that dream looks like. You have to evaluate it and what it's going to take to make it happen. You have to take action, which then you get the momentum. And then your dream can turn into a reality. And then you can help other people's dreams come true. Because if you set out in helping one person every day, you're creating a little hope. And then people will be able to find their dreams. And, you know, Maya Angelou said it great. No one's going to remember maybe what you said, but they're going to remember how you made them feel. And, you know, I always try and think about that. You know, how am I leaving someone to make them feel? Because I know how certain people leave making me feel. So whether that's good or bad, and those are things that I remember. So those are things that I always try and take into every relationship that I'm forming as well. So, you know, that's what provide value. That's the biggest tip that I can find is, you know, find out what somebody else needs, because the minute you help them with what they need, they're going to help you back.
Yes, exactly. So if for those that are listening and wondering how they can find out more about you, follow along with your journey, what is the best way to contact you or connect with you?
Well, I'm across almost every social media platform. Whether that's at Diane Strand, or you can go to hashtag JDS Family. My businesses all are JDS Video and Media Production, JDS Actor Studio, and the nonprofit JDS Creative Academy. So you can search those up. Definitely say hi. I love to collaborate and talk with new people. And we have a free Q&A session, always the last Tuesday of the month, that anyone can join to become a part of our community if you're interested. Or you can go to creativemastersclass.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you. And of course, all that will be in the show notes below. So be sure to follow. And if this episode resonates with you, be sure to reach out to Diane and let her know. As creatives, we put content out. We never know whose ears or lives have been impacted. And that's really the greatest message in the fulfillment the creator can receive, is to know that we are making a difference in the lives and hearts of others. So thank you for being here, Diane, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Hey there. Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Confident Woman Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode as much as I did, please be sure to like, subscribe, and leave us a review. Thanks again for listening.